From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. While Wisconsin Supreme Court races have become more political in recent years, there is still little interest from the average voter in the race. If one in five eligible voters casts a ballot on April 7th, that would be considered a normal turnout. Joining us to talk about these issues is La Crosse attorney Keith Belzer, who specializes in criminal defense and also teaches a course on American law at UW-La Crosse. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked Belzer what the Wisconsin Supreme Court does.
Well, the Supreme Court has two roles. One role is to review legislation and make sure that it is constitutional within the framework of the Wisconsin Constitution. The second role they have is to review cases that come up and see how they fit within the framework of case law that's already been established, a concept called stare decisis, meaning that any case that's already come before, cases decided subsequent to that, should be decided consistently with the prior case.
Wisconsin justices are elected to 10-year terms in nonpartisan spring elections. Now, given how political many of these races have been the last 20 years in the state, is it time to allow justices, do you think, to be appointed by someone else, either the governor or a body that the governor or legislature would designate?
Well, I think that there are challenges for any system of determining who a Supreme Court justice will be at the state level. And the voting end, there is this issue about it really no longer being partisan. For the last couple of judicial Supreme Court races, it's been a very partisan election with lots of outside money, as much as $1 million they're predicting this year, coming in from special interest groups to try to swing the election either towards the liberal candidate or the conservative candidate. One option would be to have some sort of an appointment process. On the other hand, that's open to politics as well. I mean, if you don't like who the particular governor is at the time of an appointment, you're going to be unhappy with that selection. You're going to think that that's been biased. I mean, one possibility that some states do is that they have like a blue ribbon panel that will then present maybe a series of three candidates to a governor to pick from. The panel is made up of people from both sides of the political spectrum to try to get somebody who really is qualified as opposed to politically connected.
There's been really no talk of doing that in Wisconsin, has there?
I've never heard of anything suggesting we do anything except to keep going as we have been, which is to do elections every 10 years, which, again, become increasingly more and more partisan.
Have you ever argued a case before the court?
I've never been in front of the Supreme Court.
As an attorney, does the tone that we're seeing in these races in recent years bother you?
I've been very disappointed in the campaigns for Wisconsin Supreme Court in the last couple of races, and I anticipate that this one will be similar, in that it becomes all about a political message, not about qualifications, not about experience, not about intellect, wisdom, the types of things you generally would look for in a Supreme Court justice. The campaigns focus on things that I think are borderline unethical, looking at particular cases out of context, looking at decisions that were made based on a constitutional issue and trying to then say that they were fact-based. And this comes from both sides.
We haven't seen the special interest money start to flow in the race yet, but we very well could in the next week or so.
I would absolutely expect we're going to start to see a lot of money flow into both races.
Really, the candidates don't have any control over that, though, do they, in theory?
They don't. I think that they could have more control over the message of the advertisements than they claim to have, but they don't have control over outside money buying ad space.
And really, that's something the U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in and made a decision on, isn't it?
Well, certainly the United States Supreme Court has made a decision that's considered controversial at best, allowing corporations to be seen as people with a First Amendment right to essentially spend as much money as they want on any campaign.
Should judicial races be held to a higher standard, though?
Well, I certainly think so. I mean, I'd like to think that the Supreme Court justices in any particular state, but in our state of Wisconsin, should be the best and the brightest minds in the legal field. And my hope is that that's what we're deciding when we vote. But the voting process really doesn't look at something as, I think, subtle as an intellect, as an ability to weigh decisions, to look at ramifications, things of that nature.
Do these recent races Supreme Court justice candidates are running call into your mind a question of fairness once they go out to decide constitutional law in Wisconsin?
Well, there's always the question or the perception perhaps of impropriety. And it doesn't necessarily have to exist. It's the perception. If you have a group of people putting in a wild amount of money to help get somebody elected, and then you know that group has members in it that appear in front of the Supreme Court, that's not to say the Supreme Court justice wouldn't be honest or wouldn't be ethical or wouldn't be fair, but it certainly makes you wonder. And if we don't have faith in the decisions of the Supreme Court, then the whole legal system starts to feel a little shaky.
I'm sure you've heard the term judicial activism bandied about quite a bit in these races. What comes to your mind when you hear the term judicial activism, and how do you define it, and is there room for that word in political races?
The term judicial activism came around essentially around the year 2000 or so in the races since then. There was a movement that started in the South to try to affect judicial races from the circuit court level, but particularly up to the Supreme Court level. And there became a sort of phrase, a catchphrase of judicial activists, which came to mean, as used, liberal judges who were legislating from the bench, who were trying to bring in their own sense of morality or conscience to the bench in their decisions. We can look back as far as Brown versus Board of Education to look at a case that could be considered judicial activism. On the one hand, that case wasn't decided by something that was written in the original Constitution. On the other hand, it was decided by principles that are articulated in the Constitution with regard to equal rights for all. More recently, the question of same-gender marriage. There's nowhere in the United States Constitution is there any wording about same-gender marriage. It's simply not there. On the other hand, a little bit more broader reading of the Constitution arguably says that it falls under equal protection. So that's really where that all comes from, this idea of judicial activism versus a strict constructionist would be the other side of the coin, somebody who looks at the plain meaning of the Constitution and decides simply based on the words as originally written. The reality is both sides use these terms when it suits them. Neither side is immune to becoming broader in their interpretation of the Constitution or more narrow when it fits their particular politics.
In your mind, should the law be allowed to evolve?
The law has to evolve. I mean, one of the challenges for the law is that it's oftentimes slow to evolve. Cases regarding slavery. The legal system was way behind society. Many would argue that cases regarding, again, same-sex marriage, that the legal system was a ways behind the rest of society. You want the law to be somewhat flexible. On the other hand, the legislators are the ones that are truly elected to bring forth laws that reflect where the community is at the time. So I think it's a fine balance between the law sort of reflecting changing values and opinions versus the legislator enacting laws that reflect that change.
In addition to the state Supreme Court justice race on April 7th, there is also a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would allow the state Supreme Court to decide who the chief justice is instead of the system we have now. Could you explain the system we have now and sure. How long it's been in place?
As far as how long it's been in place, I think it's been in place since we've had a Supreme Court. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court has the Chief Justice a position that you run for and you're elected into. So in other words, Chief Justice Abramson has been the Chief Justice for years and years and years. The constitutional amendment would allow the sitting justices all to vote on who the Chief Justice should be. I don't think anybody would deny that this really is aimed at particularly Chief Justice Abramson. She is part of essentially a two-person minority on the Supreme Court right now that are considered liberal. The fact that she's been a Chief Justice throughout this time, I think, was seen as undesirable to more conservative elements.
And do you think it's needed in Wisconsin to make that change?
I don't actually have a thoughtful opinion about that, John. Yeah. I think with the Chief Justices, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Most of these justice races we've seen have extremely low voter turnout. They're nonpartisan. Spring races, if you get 20%, that's considered high turnout. Why should they be viewed as more important, do you think?
Well, the state Supreme Court is the third branch of government. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that it is just as powerful as the legislative branch or the executive branch. You know, look at the cases that have gone up before the Supreme Court just in the last couple of years. Cases on unions, right? Cases on voter identification, cases on health care. I mean, all of these types of cases are going up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in one form or another. They also look at protections that are afforded us by the Wisconsin Constitution, whether that has to do with rights of privacy, whether it has to do with due process, equal protection. In some ways, the Wisconsin Constitution has broader protections for its citizens than the United States Constitution. These are the people that we're electing to keep those protections in place.
Keith Belzer is a criminal defense attorney in La Crosse and teaches a course on American law at UW-La Crosse. He talked with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about issues related to the politics of Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.